Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Labyrinth in the News for Monday, December 7th. I'm your host, Christiana, coming to you live from the Couve. That's Vancouver, Washington, across the river from Portland, Oregon, as I will be doing every Monday at 3:30 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. Actually, next week we will be showing on air on Tuesday, 6 a.m., December 15th. That is one time that will be different. So that's next week. It will be at 6 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time, December 15th. My lead-in music is the first cut off of Susan Alexander's CD Sequentia called Icos, which is short for icosahedron, the water symbol in sacred geometry. Sequentia is music using tones recorded from DNA vibrations. Susan recorded these tones in 1988 with the help of Dr. David Diemer, at that time a cell biologist at the Davis campus of the University of California. If any of you would like to chat while you're on the air, please go to Christiana-Anea at blogtalkradio.com. Today, my guest is a resident of British Columbia, Canada, who was born in Spanish Columbia, South America. His name is Jose Cuesta, and he is a Kripalu yoga instructor and dual continent labyrinth designer and builder. Thank you, Jose, for taking time out during the holiday season to join me today. Welcome to Labyrinths in the News.
Thank you very much, Christiana. Can you hear me?
Yes, I certainly can. How are you today?
Oh, very well. Thank you very much. I am glad to be in your program. Thank you very much for inviting me.
Oh, you're very welcome. I have looked on the web and checked out your beautiful labyrinths, and I'm very excited that I found out about you through the Labyrinth Society. Let's start with talking a little bit about your background. How did you go from being in the oil field services business to becoming a yoga instructor?
That's an interesting question. I don't even know why, but no, it's the evolution of life. You know, I went to school, graduated, did my master's, then I started working in Canada as an oil field engineer, and then moved up the ladder of the corporate ladder, and I was able to accumulate enough time and enough money that I could retire in the year 2000. For a long time, I decided I didn't want to work in the 21st century. No, not to work is not a word. It's not to work, to live. And then I just have to do something else. And it happens that I started finding this spiritual path. And then one day, my yoga teacher told me, well, look, why don't you become a yoga teacher? And I said, well, I don't know if I can do it. And he said, yes. I said, well, I'm not good enough. He said, well, that's what I want teachers for, so that they teach the people in an equal basis, not the one that can put his ear in the or the foot in the ear, but just the one that can feel the same thing that the student feels, which I really appreciated that. And that is when I then enrolled to the first teacher training. And that was in beautiful Tulum in Mexico. And then after the bug got me, and then I just started studying more and more and more. And finally, I also enrolled to Kripalu and became a 500 yoga teacher. So that's the why of how it came.
And how did Labyrinth fit into this change of lifestyle? How did that come about?
When I was with my first guru, which is a guy by the name Sequoia here in Vancouver, one day we were at the retreat up north in Cortes Island. It's one of the islands up north in the Canada. And we were doing there, and we were walking in the beach, and then I suddenly saw a kind of a pattern of stones. And I said to him, well, look, what is this? And he said to me, well, haven't you heard of labyrinths before? And I said, no, never in my life. So he said, well, and then I said, well, tell me what it is. He said, no, I'm not going to tell you. You just walk it, and then after that we talk. So I did walk it, and then I felt so good. Then I said to him, look, I need to know more about this. And then again, I started studying more and more and more. And one day I decided I was, at that time then, I, as usual, I am sharing my time in between, splitting my time between Colombia and Canada. So I went to Colombia and I do teach English in there with the heavy accent anyway. But and then I did a labyrinth with the students, and I call the Labyrinth Society, but, well, fortunately or unfortunately, the call went to Helen Curry's home, and she said to me, well, you are calling the wrong place, but I am the president, so what happened? And I said, well, look, I am doing this labyrinth with these students, and we are having so much fun, and they are so enjoying it too much that I just want to share that with you. And she said, well, welcome to the Labyrinth Society, and welcome to the ones that have been bitten by the bug.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I started, and that was back in 2002. And then the more I walked, the more I designed them, the more I studied them, then the more they become more enticing, you know, and it grows on you, and it evolves. Evolution is the word. That's the word.
And well, you know, it's so interesting because being an engineer with that kind of head, that kind of mindset, you would think that it's not a path that engineers normally take. But of course, there's that whole aspect of sacred geometry and putting together circles and the Vesica Pisces but then you've already been introduced to that sort of feminine aspect through your yoga. So it seemed like a given that this would take you further. You have a website, sunmoonyoga.ca, www.sunmoonyoga.ca, and on it you state that your labyrinth work is the, quote, design and construction of labyrinths to help the balance of our, energy fields while doing walking meditations. I probably don't have that quite correct, but so your idea is balancing your energy fields while doing walking meditations. Is this your way of combining yoga methodologies and traditions with the labyrinth?
Yes. The short answer is yes. And the reason is, you know, in yoga you have the chakra system, the energetic body energy centers, okay, that everybody talks about. And these chakras, well, chakra in Sanskrit, as you know, it means will, but also another free interpretation of chakra, the word chakra means also vortex. So to me, labyrinths are vortexes of energy. And and these vortexes have a center, and they attract these energies. It's almost like a cone. It's a beautiful spiral that is coming to the center of the labyrinth. So what is happening is that as you progress in the design of labyrinths, when they become like the latest ones I have made, they are concentric and they are oriented with the cardinal points, then you are magnetically oriented and you are walking, and then you are like turning on yourself when you walk. What that means is that you are at this moment like a gyroscope or being kind of immersed in this energy beam that is concentrated in this center, and then that allows you to balance all the energies that is coming to you. Because you're like, like every time that you go through a labor or a labor, okay, then you just turn halfway. And then in the next turn, you go highway the other way. And then at the end of the design, for example, usually the seven-path labyrinth, the seven-circuit labyrinth, have about 19 turns on yourself. So it means that you're without, that is the beauty of labyrinth, that without noticing you're in there. But then the energy that comes from the universe, then it centers and it balances you. And then that is why so it feels so good when you walk them. And yes, that part is the liaison with the yoga part, because in yoga that is what you want, is to get this altered state of consciousness that allows your brain and the mind to be quiet and just to become just one with the universe.
And have you experienced, though, different reactions, physical reactions, and balanced with the different types of labyrinths that you've walked and built?
Yes, myself, and also I can see it in the people that walk it, because I do also kind of a practical meditations in so that I invite people so that they come and meditate. On my own, yes, and it, the different design gives you a different perspective, okay? When you walk like a basic Cretan labyrinth, let's say, okay, it is a very basic labyrinth. It's just, imagine, this was invented 400 years ago, okay? So they hardly had the wheel, okay? So they have this labyrinth that looks very much like it's helicoidal, or it's not a complete circle, okay? And then you walk it, and then you just feel like, yes, it's fine, yeah? But as you go in depth, like, for example, you walk the Chartres-type labyrinth, okay? Mm-hmm. When you have 11 circuits, mm-hmm. and then you have almost like 25 turns around your or gyrations on yourself, then it's just like it's a different energy. It's a different kind of energy. When you walk a seven-circuit labyrinth like the Santa Rosa, for example, that Santa Rosa one, the one that Leah Good-Harris designed, it's just mm-hmm. incredible. I don't know if we today realize how much this woman did for the 20th century. You know, mm-hmm. it has been almost like 13 centuries, okay, or not 10 centuries, okay, for a new labyrinth to appear. Okay, there mm-hmm. are many interpretations of the same labyrinth, but this one was a new one. And when you walk the Santa Rosa labyrinth, okay, when you approach that heart, okay, you just, like, your heart opens, you know, and it's just, I cannot thank Leah so much for what she did. But then also, when you look at the San Vitale, which is the one that I am doing lately the most, it's exactly the same thing. It's a labyrinth that you start, and then you go to the center right away. So the brain tells you, okay, you got it. And then suddenly you start walking, and then you go out. I said, wait a minute, I thought I was in. You know, so it's just like, wow. And then the brain kind of start processing this, and then you become like, at the end, after a while, they say, well, this is not a game. This is something serious here. Okay, and that is what happened. And that is, I feel it. Tell us a little bit.
You mentioned the San Vitale, the labyrinth in Colombia, in South America. Give us a little background about that. It's taken from the design from the labyrinth in Ravenna, Italy. Is that correct?
Yes.
And why did you pick that one?
I don't know what is the... Do you remember the name of the guy that did the presentation in this year gathering, the Scottish guy?
Jim Buchanan.
Projection, yes. Projection of labyrinth. Well, guess what? I was visiting my brother in Nottingham, England, and then he said to me, look, you're into labyrinth. There is a crazy guy that is doing this in the castle up in the Nottingham Forest, so why don't we walk it? And where we go, and then you see what we have for labyrinths here. So I said, okay, let's go. And then I start walking, and then we arrived there just before sunset, you know. So as it got dark, this labyrinth starts coming out. And then I say, wow, but this is a different design. I never seen this design before. Okay? The reason being is because, remember, the San Vitale is a very small labyrinth in real life in the Basilica of San Vitale in Ravenna, as you say it. Okay? Mm-hmm. And it was built because it's part of the mosaics. I mean, the Ravenna Basilica is very, very well known for their mosaics because it was the latest Byzantine basilica in the world, or in the Western world, anyway. So, and then I discovered this one, and I said, wow, what is this? And then I just, again, it's like, wow, let's do this one. And then I did it first, I started researching it, and then I found what was the basic design, and then I did it first, which is almost like my training or my practice grounds, which are the beach house that my family has in Colombia. So I did it there one Easter, because I do a labyrinth, a temporary labyrinth there every Easter, and the people love it, because now it's almost like, they start asking me, are we going to have the labyrinth this year in Easter? I said, well, of course, yes. And then I did that, and I felt so good, that then I said, well, let's do it where? And then I did it, the same design, in here in Vancouver for the Christ Church Cathedral, the Anglican cathedral here, which it was the first church in Vancouver. And then the people love it. The people love it. That's when I was mentioning before, when the people tell me about, hey, what is what you feel? I mean, these people come to me and say, look, well, that day, for example, the day of the inauguration, which was also a concert of Jerry DeBoyne, which is a very good friend of mine, which is a singer and batki practitioner. Then they were expecting 100 people. 300 people showed up. I mean, incredible. Wow. And then we had 300 people at the same time. You remember one of the things I like about your spiral labyrinth in the last gathering was that we were all there, I mean, at the same time, all the participants, you know. Well, you can see 300 people, obviously, not 300, but at least 100 people inside that labyrinth, okay, walking and feeling and then coming out on that, because I did an introduction of what the labyrinth was and why it was important. What I'm doing now, for example, the center of the labyrinth, I am using the modular, which is the Le Corbusier modular, which is the he designed a dimension that makes you feel good. So and it's you can it's laid down in that center of my San Vitale labyrinth, or even in any labyrinth now, and you fit perfectly. Okay, because it is designed, the measurements are designed so that the Vitruvian Man can fit in it. And you know the Vitruvian Man is the Leonardo da Vinci perfect man, you know, that they send up to the space in one of those modules, you know. Anyway.
Okay, I get what you're saying.
You have to stop me, because I tell you, if you let me go, I just start.
No, it's wonderful. I want to know a little bit more about, I saw the YouTube video about the San Vitale Casablanca Labyrinth, and it's just lovely, and the location is stunning. Where is it located in Colombia?
It's in Medellin. The city, the near city is Medellin, but the place, the country house is... I don't think that I am divulging any secrets, but is the former mayor of the city of Medellin. Medellin is a city of 400 million people, you know. So this man is amazing, okay. And then he saw my work, okay, through some other designs that I have done there, and he said to me, "Look, I want a design in my country house." So I said, "Okay, let's go and do it." And then we took, and you can see, I mean, if you have the opportunity, well, you already told me you had, but if the people that is listening have the opportunity, go to YouTube and check in Casablanca Labyrinth. And then we were there, and then we all, one day, full day, trying to decide where was the best place to fit the labyrinth so that you could see it from the house, and then you could see it, like, from above. Okay, and then we found this beautiful lawn in front of his house, just across the road of the entry, And then I said, well, this is the place. In fact, it was not me. It was a friend, a lady friend of ours. Says, look, guys, don't even think about it. This is the place. Look at the, because there is a lake, which is the water supply of the city. It's a beautiful dam in there, which is a man-created lake. But then the view is fantastic. And the house, look at the east. So it was just oriented, and this labyrinth is oriented looking at the east, so that the idea is that when you have a full moon coming up, then you just kind of are in the center looking at these things. Or you start working the labyrinth looking at the moon, and you finish the labyrinth looking at the moon. It's like more or less the idea that they have when they designed the Chartres Labyrinth, or the Sands Labyrinth, the Saint-Étienne Labyrinth in Sands in France, is that when the monks, or when the practitioners started looking at the main altar, and when they finished, they faced the main altar, so they were ready to talk to God. And this is basically, well, not as much as a God-oriented thing, but it's just to see that full moon, and then you're just kind of ready to just go to space and then feel the energy, and you do feel it.
I have specific question about the way that you made this labyrinth. For people who don't understand, this was a flat lawn, beautiful, cared for flat lawn, mowed. And then what you did was that you dug the lines of the labyrinth out and dug into the lawn. And so what you're walking on is the top, the lawn, with the lines dug down into the earth. And so what you're walking on is this, you're walking on sort of a plateau with the lines, how many inches deep are the lines?
Are 4 inches deep into the turf.
And into the turf.
Yeah.
And the turf is very dark, so you have this stunning, beautiful green lawn the path that you're walking on, with the lines that are 4 inches of this very dark turf, and with this very beautiful. Now, this is a 7-circuit or an 11-circuit labyrinth.
7-circuit. It's a true San Vitale one. It's a 7-circuit. The difference is there, if you notice, is that we rounded the labyrinth so that it looks more like it's like a river. It's just like it, because it had rounded labyrinth. Usually the original San Vitale is straight, you see?
Okay.
But this one, this particular one, we rounded the labyrinth, and in the video you can see that. You can see that we were doing, because it's kind of a hard work. I mean, I did the video because I'm filming all the time. Well, I'm supervising and directing all the workers, you know. So I'm telling them to do what to do and all that. But then at the same time, I have to film. So I am doing the video, and then these guys are digging in there, and then somebody is, when you have a curve, then you have this stick, which is the right measurement, and then you start circling around, and it's like, no, it's a beauty. That is the other beautiful thing about making this labyrinth, is that you become a team. Even people the ex-mayor of the city is one of the guys that was helping there, because he was so into it. I said, well, no, I'll do that. He said, well, in Colombia, everybody's a doctor. So he's a doctor, you cannot get dirty, you know. He said, no, don't worry about that. I want to just make sure that I help to build my own labyrinth. And then that's when that is why at the end you see this beautiful, when at the final take of the video, you have this beautiful thing. Now, the idea probably is in the future he will put some flowers on it. So it's going to be even, because we haven't decided what color of flowers. But we are trying to
find in the lines, you mean?
In the lines? Yes. In the walls.
Yeah, I was wondering about that, because I was concerned, you know, as a labyrinth builder myself, I was concerned about the degradation of the edges. That if you walked on it too much, or people, or it would cave in, And I was wondering what you were going to do about that. But if you put flowers there, then that probably would work just fine.
But you bring a very important point when you're building a labyrinth, is that there are two things about that. Is the decay when you walk on it, but also is the invasion of the grass. Grass is a very invasive weed anyway. So what we are doing in these things, because it's enough depth, then we put kind of a tile, and then we put vertical tiles, very thin, almost like a quarter of an inch or all that, along the path, so that you have a physical division in between the path, and the walls. And that's how we avoid the degradation and invasion of it. But then to make it even more, okay, because it's beautiful as it is with the black one, but I think that it will be nicer if you have like a dark red, almost like I dream of a purple one, but you cannot get purple flower very easy. But there is I don't know if you saw the you remember in the video, there is a set of flowers there that he has and they are native. So it's going to be very easy to transfer them from where he has them into the labyrinth. Mm-hmm. And that will be the next step of the design. He says, okay, to see this beautiful red. I mean, can you imagine this pattern there, which is a red pattern in the middle of this thing with the green thing, and then you're walking in there. I mean, it's going to be just, what else? I mean, the earth, which,
is this open, is this private, or is this open to the public sometimes, or?
No, this is a private labyrinth, but he is very open-minded, so that if anybody is interested, then we can arrange, and then he is very willing to. He's a very private man, but at the same time, he is very willing to open that labyrinth to anybody that is visiting it.
And what other labyrinths have you done in Colombia besides that one?
Well, important. Well, I have done many like temporary ones, like I was telling you about this labyrinth that I do in the beach house, my family country house. But also, for example, I did one Santa Rosa for a clinic in the nearby city. It was a new clinic, and they went and walked the beach labyrinth, and then the director, the medical doctor that is the director of the clinic, came to me and said, "Look, I need to have one of those things in my clinic. So come and design it and do it." And then we designed that one so that the width of the path is the width of a wheelchair. So the idea is that the people will walk, the people will take the wheelchair patients and take them around the labyrinth, which is in some cities, in some hospitals in the States do that. And the other one, and then another one which I did was in the Medellin Zoo. In the Medellin Zoo, we designed one, which was a San Vitale as well, and then they did a very kind of a teaching panels. And the kids, when they go, because, you know, at the schools, they take the kids for a day, the afternoon out or something, and these people, the director of the zoo was telling me, "Jose, I cannot believe it. These kids start walking around, and it's like a merry-go-round, you know, and they love it." So sometimes we have to tell them, "No, let's go and see the lion." No. We want to walk.
So is it a permanent labyrinth at the zoo there in Midland?
Yes, it is. It is.
Okay.
Yes, it is. And that is open to the public, and it's a beautiful one, and it's placed in a very nice corner of the zoo, and just next to the museum. And it's a beautiful one, and very, very good, very well done. They did a very good job. Then, obviously, the Christchurch Cathedral here. Well, but in Medellin, in Colombia, I did one for a retreat center. A psychologist friend of mine, he has a retreat center where he does work with his clients. And then we designed one, and then this guy gave me a complete interpretation that I never thought about it, about how how similar the brain, okay, is to the to these labyrinths. I mean, and he said, look, when you're walking in this right-hand side, then you are exercising and stimulating the left side of the brain, and it's the opposite. And then you, in fact, it was very funny because the day that we inaugurated, he said to me, you know, Jose, you don't know what you're doing. And I said, well I became very defensive. I said, what do you mean? He said, no. You don't know how much, what, you don't know the depth of the things that you're doing with this labyrinth. And I said, this is new to me. That's when he came up with this explanation and all that, and then I couldn't believe it. And I said, and this is just a psychotherapist, you know. So the guy is very much into the brain, and so.
Well, this is
saying,
what.
Look,
this goes back to what you were talking about with the yoga. It's balancing, and you're balancing the left and right hemisphere of the brain.
Exactly. Yeah.
So what about your work in Canada? So tell me about the Canadian labyrinth.
The Canadian one, the highlight is the church, the Christ Church Cathedral, which was San Vitale. That is a removable labyrinth. It's in canvas because, you know, in the cathedral, being an Anglican church, they didn't want to have the labyrinth permanent in the ground. So we took the center of the cathedral. I mean, this cathedral is amazing. I mean, it's just beautiful. And in the last 5 years, they peel off all the iron beams, which are cast irons, which were cast when you know that Vancouver is the end of the line of the railroad. Okay, well, the same people that did the rails for the train, okay, they did the structure of the cathedral inside. So they peel it off and paint it in black, and they put a beautiful, very nice native wood in the floor. And it's right in the center because the center is a square. So we decided with the people of the church, they said, that is the place to do it. So we did it, fit it in that center, and every time that they do it regularly, they just lay it down, it open, and it's portable, and it fits in a suitcase, and then we open it, and then that is they do that. And then I have done other ones, but mainly in retreats, where I go to retreats with Sequoia or with other people. Then I do, usually I end up doing a labyrinth so that the people walking in those. But they become all more like temporary ones, no like the Christ Church Cathedral.
Now that you said
so
the one at Christ Church. You said it was a San Vitale design, the same one, the Ravenna design?
Yes, it's a San Vitale one, yes.
And did you actually paint the design on the canvas?
Yes. Yes, in fact, it's also on YouTube, that one. It's called Constructed the Labyrinth. And it was done by a guy, Rob Terrain, which is another addict of labyrinths. And that was done with the Mantravani choir, which is the Jerry DuBois choir, and all these people, when we were doing, we were painting this thing. And then what we did in the canvas was we first traced it with pencil. Then after that, we put masking tape outside, and then with a roller, we painted, roller painted, all these things. And then when the paint, after two hands of paint were done, or two layers of paint, then we peel off the tape, and then it was just, and it was a purple, it is a purple color. So it's just like, wow! I mean, it's opens like incredible when at the end. It's just very, very, very nice. And the canvas is white, obviously. Well, it's kind of cream rather than white. It's ivory.
And you have, what is the music behind the YouTube video for the Casablanca Labyrinth and for this one? Where did you get this music?
Well, Jerry DuBois, I mean, he's an incredible guy. So he had a record a long time ago. I mean, he did a special record today. It's called the Singing in the Labyrinth, on the music of the Labyrinth. And he did when we inaugurated, but for the Casablanca one, I took one of the very old ones, which is the Healing Mantra. And he has a beautiful voice and a very nice music. So I said, this is perfect for this. Because and what is interesting is that it fitted very well, because while we were doing it, then I put music so that the people kind of relax. And one of the records that I put was very Healing Mantra, and which is last almost like 29 minutes, you know. And then the people loved it when people were visiting and see what to, how it was going up and all that, because it took us about 3 days to do it. So they came up and said, what is that music, you know? And I said, well, it's a guy, very nice guy in Vancouver, which his name is Jerry DeBoyne, and he sings and he loves music. And then he is also a very good fan of Labyrinth. And that is the music then I use, almost like in an honor to Jerry, and to say, hey, look, this is my tribute to you, to put your voice and music into one of my the videos of my construction of a Labyrinth.
Can you please spell his last name for us?
Jerry, you know, Jerry, J-E-R-R-Y.
Right.
And it's
right.
The Boines is D-E-S, and then Boines is V-O-E-G-N-E-S, Boines.
Oh, okay.
Like
I would never have known that. Okay.
Yes?
Is he Canadian?
Yes, he is Canadian, and... probably nationalized Canadian, because I think that he probably might be a U.S. Citizen, but I don't know, or born in the U.S. somewhere. It's a beautiful story. Jerry's is a fantastic story, and we are doing we're singing in the round with him on the 20th of December. He's a very, very nice guy, and very colorful story. He had an accident and he lost his voice and everything and his brain, and then he started making music and noise, I mean, like reciting mantras, and he recovered all his capacity through practicing mantras and practicing yoga. So it's just an amazing story.
You just mentioned something about upcoming event. What are you? What kind of projects are you working on now at the moment involving Labyrinth, or for the future?
Okay, well, I have one more Labyrinth to do in Colombia. They are waiting for me to do it, and the next project for the next 6 months is I'm going to do my own portable Labyrinth. Because what happened, the ones that I'm doing in Colombia is a bigger one. It's a Sans Labyrinth, which is the one that Sans, I don't know if you know, but Sans is a town just east of Chartres. And what happened, Sans was the archdiocese. And Sans has an 11th circuit labyrinth. Unfortunately, in the 17th century, the major priest of the church decided that the kids were doing too much noise when they walked the labyrinth, and then he asked them to remove it. But all the designs and all the pictures are in the literature. So I decided to pick up that one up, because it's a little bit, it's 11 circuit, it's more like the Chartres, but it's a little bit different than the Chartres, so it feels good and also has a very good energy. And that's the one I'm doing next, in an ecological center in Colombia.
Where in Colombia?
And in the same city, in Medellin, but there is some friends of mine have a subdivision, okay, or a development, which the houses have to be completely ecologically pure. So there is no steel, there is no nothing. It has to be earth, walls, Spanish, how you call that? The
tile.
So I don't know. The tile in the
yeah.
roof. Everything has to be rounded. The subdivision was designed by a Japanese guy, in which everything is rounded. There is no straight corners, and it's completely oriented. So they selected a place last year before I came in, and then I design it, and then they are saying, well, we are waiting for you, so as soon as you arrive, then we'll do it here. And it's called La Aldea. La Aldea in Spanish is the town, okay, or the village. It's more like it's called the village, and it's a beautiful development, and it's so spiritual. And they grow their own, they have their own farm, they grow vegetables and tomatoes and all those things. They have a small a barn where they have the cows, so they have their own milk. I mean, it's one of these kind of an alternative development
right,
for
right.
people that are into these things. And they have a chendo for Zen meditation, and they have a beautiful center, and then they decided that they want to have a labyrinth there.
We're about out of time. How did you like the Labyrinth Society's 2009 gathering? You were there. Did you enjoy yourself?
Oh, I tell you, well, that's when I asked you about this spiral labyrinth. I will play with it. In fact, the one that I'm doing next Easter in the beach is going to be like that. I like it. I as you can feel, I admire Leah so much that I was very glad that she was the keystone speaker. And the two guys, the Central American guy and this Scottish guy, were fantastic. Then also the camaraderie. I mean, I met people that I haven't seen before, and like I met Harriet Kroyer, and then I said, well, and all these people that you only talk in these telephone conferences, you know, and then you put faces and bodies and an attractive woman in behind these voices. And then you say, wow, what I'm missing, you know? And that was the beautiful part of it. I mean, is the mixing with all these things, with these beings that you have in your mind. It's like, I don't know if you know, when you read a book and then you suddenly you go and see the movie, and they say, no, this is not the guy I was looking at, you know? This looks more like Harrison Ford, that the guy that I was thinking in the book, you know? And it's basically sometimes, but in this case, it's a very positive and very nice surprise, because you say, wow, this woman is more interesting and beautiful than I thought, or this man is, I mean, because there are so, I met John Rhodes, and I said, well, I thought that John Rhodes was this kind of a very esoteric person in there, I mean, that you couldn't even approach, and then you see this very easygoing person, just ready to do more research into labyrinths. I mean, no, I love everyone of the things that I did during those 3 days anyway.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Jose. you know, it's my intention to enlighten labyrinth neophytes and support labyrinth veterans with guests like you, who provide a depth of information and personal experience not available through other sources. So, again, thank you so much. Many blessings on your path. Gracias, gracias. And have a wonderful holiday season.
Hey, thank you very much. And thank you for having me. And a happy Christmas to everybody that's listening. Bye.
Ciao. You've been listening to Labyrinth in the News in the live category on blogtalkradio.com with your host, Christiana. Please join me next Monday when my guest will be next Tuesday when my guest will be a local woman, Crystal Dawn Walker, who created a fall 2010 tour of 9 labyrinths in France and Italy to satisfy her degree requirements at Merrill Hurst University. Join us next week as we talk about Dawn's passions, labyrinths, and traveling, and the joy and frustrations of combining the two for a very specific purpose. Have a blessed week in Lakesh, and happy holidays.